Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am so excited because tonight we will be concluding our study from the book of 2 Timothy, and we will also be beginning our next study in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you remember that the study of 2 Timothy, it's a great lesson where Paul tutored Timothy, telling Timothy how to establish new churches. And he gave Timothy excellent ways of stimulating the people and how to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, because of the indwelling of the Holy Ghost to guide both Paul and Timothy, there is no better way of planting and watering the flock than what was written in the letters to Timothy by Paul. And then we're going to go into the prophet Ezekiel. And now the prophet Ezekiel is considered by me the gloom and doom prophet. He scolded Israel continually because of its disobedience to God. And that is the reason why Israel was suffering in captivity under the Babylonians. Now, as I want to share with you, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, your Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, as I like to consider it, which you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has set up a chat room where you can go in there and inquire, and we can talk during the program. Now, before we get started, I want to, as I always do, personally take this time to thank all of you for those comments that you have given me and the advice that you have given me regarding this particular show. I am so thankful for it, my precious brothers and sisters. Now, as the theme song for the show always suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus, or I should say God, said, for a moment, I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. This is what God said through Isaiah, the prophet, chapter 54, verse 7 and 8. Now, the promise is that God, under his mercy will gather us, even though at this time we are suffering, but that is because of our sins. God said again, let not the wise man glory in his own wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his own might. Let not the rich man glory in his own riches, but let him glory, but he that glory, let him glory in this, loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. For in these things God takes delight. Now, the promise is that if you glory in what God has identified as loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness, your glory will be exalting. But without that glory, it will be rejecting. And that is what this is telling me. And this is what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24 through 25. That's where you find this, my precious brothers and sisters. And God said again through King David, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Again, this is taken from Psalms 37, verse 1 through 3. Now, the promise is we will be fed, my precious brothers and sisters, and we should not fret, but we must trust in the Lord and do his will. Now, the question again for this hour is, are you standing on God's promises? I would like to say this, as I always do before we get started, that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in proverbs, in prophecies, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through learning. My brothers and sisters, that is why we are here tonight, to study and to learn together. Okay, let's go to the study. Let's complete the season 10 of Timothy, 2 Timothy. We're going to go turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy, and we're going to look at chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 17. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 17. Now, the instruction that I want you to glean from these two verses, my brothers and sisters, as I read them to you, is this. Be open to all scripture. My precious brothers and sisters, I did not say be open to all biblical scriptures. I said be open to all scriptures. You have to realize that all scriptures does not complete or are not in its entirety in our canon. We have 66 books of scriptures, but there are more. And so Paul, or what I want you to keep in mind, is be open to all scriptures. And the significance of that is what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Now, Paul said this before our canon was compiled, my brothers and sisters. That's why this is so significant and critical. This is what Paul talked and told Timothy. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or woman of God may be perfected, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That is so significant, my precious brothers and sisters, that we must be open to all of what thus saith the Lord God Almighty. Remember that it was rehearsed in the desert by Moses to Israel, and Jesus Christ reiterated it and declared it to Satan in the wilderness when he was being tempted by Satan, that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God. This is critical to note. Okay, now what I want you to do is amplify what I just told you about all scripture is profitable. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 4. Turn your Bible sources with me to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 1 through 4. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 4, to exemplify this. And I see that we're on the first break. So let us do the first break and then return for the lesson. Well, I see that the break did not kick in, so what we'll do, we'll continue with the lesson until the break does kick in. So we're looking at Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 4, and this is what Jesus said or was involved in, referring to be open to all scripture. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. That's what the break will continue.
What is hope? It means to have a sense of expectation that God's answer is coming based on what the promises of God happen to be in the Word of God. Now listen to this. Hoping is not wishing. I'm going to say that again. Hoping is not wishing. Wishing is based on nothing but emotion and feeling. Wishing has no chance of becoming reality because it's not based on substance. But the law of God is substance. Our hope is based in what the Word of God has said about the thing for which you are praying. God's law for controlling your future and achieving your dreams is accomplished in these four words, hope thou in God. The solutions of our national crisis is not coming from Washington. I hear people now in this election time saying, oh, I hope Washington gets it right this time. Well, don't get your hopes up. The answer's not coming from Washington. The solution for America is coming from God Almighty. Hope is God's gift to the believer. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13:13, now abideth faith, hope, and love. Three things that God wants every believer to have. St. Paul writes in Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace so that you may overflow with hope. God doesn't want you to have just a little dab of hope. God wants you to have hope that's like a river that literally washes the pain and the sorrow out of your life and brings you joy unspeakable that's full of glory. The first recorded promise in the Bible is that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. It is a word of hope from God the Father that Satan is a defeated foe. And Jesus Christ fulfilled that promise at the cross of Calvary. Satan has no power over you. He has no influence over you. He has no claim over you. He has no authority over you. Not over your family, not over your future, not over your health, not over your finances. Because he has been defeated and he is still defeated. The last promise recorded by Jesus, Revelation 22:20, I am coming soon. It's a word of hope for the 21st century church that when you see these signs, lift up your heads and rejoice. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for. I love that verse. Listen to it again. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for. Why? Because it's based on the Word of God. What God has done in the past, we can be sure that he's going to do it again.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's complete this lesson. The instruction is be open to all scripture, and we already know what Timothy taught, what Paul taught Timothy about that. Now, this is what Jesus says to amplify that. It's what he experienced in the desert. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. This is what it says. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of Man, command these stones be made bread. But this is how Jesus answered him and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So Jesus substantiated that it's every word. It's not just the canon that we're using, but that which has been written over time. You have to realize that when Paul said what he did to Timothy, the Bible hadn't been compiled yet, and that is what I'm trying to get you to understand. Now let's go and compare and agree with what we just said, and we're going to look at the Old Testament, and we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 and 3. And again, this substantiates what being open to all of Scripture means. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 and 3, this is where Moses rehearsed this to Israel. Moses said in verse 2 of chapter 8, and thou shalt remember the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know that what was in your heart, whether thou would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's how man lives. And this is to substantiate why we must be open to all Scripture. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that all Scripture written, that all Scripture writings that are inspired from God must be considered in our experience this side of eternity. That's what I want you to take away from this lesson or this instruction, my precious brothers and sisters, that all the scriptural writings that are inspired by God, they are the ones, because there is what is identified as Scripture that wasn't inspired by God. And this is why we have to rightfully divide the word of truth. But all Scripture that is inspired by God must be considered in this experience, this side of eternity. That's what I want you to get from this particular instruction. Okay, now let's go to the last instruction of 2 Timothy, and we will be completing the season 10, and this is the instruction, or this is the chapter that I want you to look at in the verses. We're going to go to 2 Timothy 4, and we're going to be looking at verse 2 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 through 5. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the verses to you. This is a good doctrine to follow. This is what Paul told Timothy in chapter 4, verse 2 through 5. This good doctrine, this is what he said. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reproof, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all these things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of the evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. So this is the doctrine that is so significant, that we hold fast to the truth. That's the key. And we know that Jesus Christ is the truth. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and I am the light. No one cometh to the Father but by me. And that is so significant, my brothers, to understand. And this is how Revelations, if you turn with me to Revelations chapter 2, verse 4, 5, and 7, this is going to give us an understanding of what good doctrine should be today in revelationary times. This is what Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 says. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. My brothers and sisters, this is the good doctrine. Listen what verse 5 and 7 says. Remember therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candle out of his place, except thou repent. And verse 7 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That is sound doctrine, my brothers and sisters. Do you want to overcome? Then you must respond to this, and you will be fed out of the paradise of God, and you will receive the hidden manna. And the first works would be to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest will be added unto you. And that would be to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy might, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. So this is the amplification of a good doctrine, and it is amplifying what Timothy was taught by Paul. Now we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to see how this compares and agrees. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21 through 24, and this is what Solomon taught Israel. This is what he taught Israel. Solomon says, my son, let not them depart from thy eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy neck, or life unto thy soul, and grace unto thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. My precious brothers and sisters, that is sound doctrine. And now what we're going to do, before we go to the break, let me just give you the spiritual meaning that this should have in the lesson, that we should endeavor to keep all of God's commandments. That is the lesson that I want you to get from this instruction. Now we're going to go to our second break.
Israel, also called Jacob, said to Joseph, the one he never thought he'd see again, the dream that he thought had died, the thing that he thought was over. What is your Joseph? What is the thing that you have given up on in your life and you've said the story is over and this is the way it's going to be and I'm just always going to just struggle with this and I'm always going to deal with this and I'm never going to get over this and I'm never going to get victory and I'm going to sing the words to the song but I don't really mean them or believe them anymore because I'm just going through the motions and I'm just going through this. What is your Joseph? Now watch this. Israel said to Joseph, I never expected to see your face again and now God has allowed me to see your children too. He's the God of the plot twist. Not only did he let him see Joseph, but he used everything that Joseph had been through to save the whole family. Because he's the God of the plot twist. Not only did he minister to the woman, he sent the woman to go get the whole town. Plot twist. He skipped the meal, but he reaped the harvest. God is the God of the plot twist. Now, who is this for? If this is for you, just tell me right now. Say, this is for me. This is for me. This is for me. This is bread from heaven for me. God said to tell you that there's a plot twist happening in your life right now. He said to tell you that the things about you that you don't like, he's going to leverage them for greater grace to be released in your life. And I speak by the Spirit of the Lord into your life. He is turning things around right now. And you will see Joseph again. And you will see provision again. And you will have joy again. And you will dance again. And you will shout again. And you will go to the house of God again. And you will rise again. And you will breathe again. And you will sing again. Thought I'd never see you again. Israel said to Joseph, It was the plot of ground that Jacob gave to Joseph. Never thought it would happen, but it did. God said, get ready for unexpected blessings in unlikely places. Through weakness, he is strong. In your crushing, oil comes forth.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, now we're going to go into a new season. This is season 11, and our first episode is going to be in the book of Ezekiel. We're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 1, and this is going to be exciting. We're going to go and turn your Bible sources with me to Ezekiel chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verse 1 and verse 3. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 3, and this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the two verses to you. Now, this is what Ezekiel was told, or this is how Ezekiel's prophecy started. Now, it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Shebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Shabaz. And the hand of the Lord was upon him. My brothers and sisters, the priesthood is a special category of individuals. And you can see that in this time frame that Ezekiel was a priest. Now, what is so significant is that we are all members of the body. But the body, being one, has many different members. And in the membership of the body, The priests have been given responsibility for, you might say, managing and taking care of the body general. So this is where Numbers chapter 18, to exemplify just what happened to Ezekiel, let's go to Numbers chapter 18. And I'm going to give more amplification on the priesthood being so special. In Numbers chapter 18, verse 20 through 24, this is what the law said about it. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thy inheritance among the children of Israel. That is so significant, my brothers and sisters. The priesthood is so significant that it is owned by God exclusively. Verse 21, and behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for their inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites, again, that is who is responsible. The priests are responsible for managing God's body. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquities. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. So this is just expanding upon what Ezekiel identified himself as being a priest. You can see that the priesthood was very significant to God and very important to the children of God. Now we're going to go to Revelations chapter 1, and we're going to see how significant that is today in our relationship with God and those whom we are serving, which would be the body. This is what Revelations chapter 1, verse 5 and 6 says. Revelations chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters, this is comparing and agreeing. This is showing the specialness of the priesthood. It says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and have made us kings and priests, a kingdom of priests, my precious brothers and sisters, unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So this tells us that if you are a Christian, you are a priest of Christ, a priest of God. And we are responsible for maintaining the body of God through the priesthood. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that all Christians are priests of God through Jesus Christ. And our inheritance is to live forever with him. Remember, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be sorry or afraid or ashamed. I go to prepare a place for you. And where I go, there you may be also. If it were not so, I would have told you. So we're promised that following Jesus, we are going to live with him. That is our inheritance. This world is not our home. Our home is with Jesus Christ, our Lord, God, and Savior. That's what I want you to get from this particular instruction. Okay, let's go to instruction number two. Back again with me to Ezekiel chapter 1. We're going to be looking at Ezekiel chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verse 4 through 6. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 4 through 6. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind, my brothers and sisters, as I read the verses to you, the vision of the four creatures. This is what Ezekiel is talking about in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 4 through 6. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four creatures, four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the soles of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass, and they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces in their wings. And verse 10 completes the thought. Verse 10 says, as for the likeness of their faces, they had four, the face of a man and the face of a lion and the right side. And they four had the face of an ox on the left side. And they four also had the face of an eagle. Now, this is the Ezekiel had. And to amplify that vision and not to necessarily go into any details about it, let's go to Joel chapter 2. And we're talking about visions, my brothers and sisters. We're going to go to Joel chapter 2, and we're going to see what Joel had to say about visions. And I can see we're at our third break, so let us take our break, and then when we come back, we'll conclude the question.
A lot of people talk a good game, don't they? They say they're going to do this and that. But when push comes to shove, they disappear. When it's game time, they're nowhere to be seen. They say they're going to be the greatest ever, but their work ethic shows average effort. They say they're going to be rich or famous, but their habits are poor and ordinary. Talking is not enough. You must do. Talking is not enough. You must put in the work. You must develop the habit of following through with your word. When you say you're going to do something, you do it. It's called integrity. When you honor your word, you build pride for yourself and respect from others. When you don't, when you talk the talk and never walk, you lose pride and you lose respect. Repeat to yourself every day. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. If I give my word, I do it. If I talk it, I will walk it. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. If I give my word, I do it. If I talk it, I will walk it. When it gets hard, I gave my word. If something comes up, I gave my word. I will get it done. I don't even have to think twice. I get it done. I will get it done. Talkers talk. Walkers walk. Don't tell them what you're going to do. Show them what you've done. Let your results speak for you. Results say more than words ever will. Keep your word. Do the work. Get the results. Game time. This is my word. I've said it. Now I will do it.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us continue with the second instruction, the vision of the four creatures, not detailing what the vision stands for. I just want to bring to your attention about visions, and this is what Ezekiel had, the vision of the four creatures. Now Joel is going to exemplify, or I would say amplify upon this in Joel chapter 2, verse 27 through 32. This is what Joel says about visions, and this is why it's so significant to understand that visions have a place of importance with God. This is what Joel said in the prophet Joel in chapter 2 of his writing. It's verse 27 says, "And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall not be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days, excuse me, I will pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall come on the name of the Lord, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be delivered." And that is significant, my brothers and sisters. Paul or Joel is talking about visions in general, visions that all will take part in. And these visions are significant. Now, let's go to Revelations chapter 4, and we're going to look at what the writer said in the book of Revelations about the significance of visions. And this is what is so pertinent to us today, because we are in revelationary times, like I mentioned earlier. Revelations chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 1 through 3 and then verse 6 through 8. And this is what it says. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show you these things which must shortly come to pass. This is a vision. And immediately I was up in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat on was like unto a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. So again, this is a vision, and this vision is significant because what the Spirit is saying to the church that he saw God on the throne. And verse 6 through 8 completes the thought when it says, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion. And the second beast was like a calf. And the third beast had a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like unto a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him. And they were full of eyes within. And they rested not day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Now, this particular vision was complementary to the vision that was in the Old Testament saw by Ezekiel. And this here is telling us that those creatures are very significant. And this is something that we should take a look at, my brothers and sisters, and learn the meaning of the visions. But as far as this lesson is concerned, all I wanted to do was make sure that you are aware that visions are important to God. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that visions from God are significant to us, and hope we will be able to rightfully understand them. That is what I want you to get from this particular instruction, that visions are important, and hopefully we will rightfully understand these visions. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Let's go back to Ezekiel. We're going to go back to Ezekiel chapter 1. We're going to take another lesson or instruction from Ezekiel chapter 1, and this time we're going to be looking at verse 25 through 28, Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 25 through 28. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. This is the instruction, what the vision represented. Now we're going to get into some details. This is what Ezekiel said in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 25 through 28, concerning what the vision represented. And this is what it says. And there was a voice from the firmament over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above it. And I saw as color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. And I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about it, and as the appearance of the bow that was in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, which I saw. And I saw it, and I fell down upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Now, this is what the vision represented, the glory of God. That's what I want you to understand. That's what the vision represented. And now, to amplify on that, we're going to go to Daniel. Turn your Bible sources with me, and we're going to go to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. And in Daniel chapter 12, we're going to look at verse 5 through verse 9. And this is what Daniel said in his visionary that he received from God. Daniel chapter 12, verse 5 says, then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on the side of the bank of the river on the other side. And one said unto the man clothed in linen, which was upon the rivers of the water, how long shall it be to the end of these things? And I heard a man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, that it shall be for a time and times to come and half a time. And when he had accomplished it to this, scattered the power of the holy people, and all the things that it were finished. And I heard and understood not. Then I said, oh, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. So in this particular vision, it represented the end of time. That is the amplification of what the vision represents in this instance. Now what we're going to do is go to the book of Acts. We're going to go turn with me to the book of Acts, and we're going to look at verse 9 or chapter 9 in the book of Acts, and we're going to look at verse 3 through 5. And before we continue, we're going to go to our last pause.
The Christian life is not a playground. It's a battleground. So today, I will give no place to fear or failure. I will not accept a trace of apathy in my attitude or actions. I will reject complacency and embrace the greatness that God has planted inside of me. I will waste no opportunity to glorify God and maximize everything He has entrusted to me. I will fight. My battle is not against flesh and blood, but against a spiritual enemy who opposes me. So I will draw the battle lines and face my enemy with a bold determination. My enemy fights against me because he fears me. Every time I resist him, he must flee. And every time he reminds me of my past, I will remind him of his future. I will make no excuses, but through every obstacle I will find a way. I will not procrastinate my progress. I will not defer my destiny. I will not waver when I'm weak. I will not cower when my circumstances take a turn for the worse. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I will fight. Even if I lose the battle, I will win the war, because I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. I will reject the lies that echo in my mind, telling me that I don't have what it takes, that my best is behind me, or that humiliation awaits me. The devil is a liar. And my God always causes me to triumph. Through Jesus Christ, my Lord, I will fight. I'm unashamed to represent a kingdom that is unshakable. No one will be able to stand against God's plan for me all the days of my life. With my God, I will advance against every troop. With his help, I will scale every wall. Though my enemies surround me, my God surrounds my enemies. Though they may come at me one way, they will flee seven ways. Because no weapon formed against me will prosper. And every evil thing that rises against me, I will condemn, I will fight. My heart is steadfast. My purpose is immovable. I am always abounding in the work of the Lord. And my potential is unlimited because the limitless God lives within me. I will fight. The cross is before me. The world is behind me. I'll never turn back. I'll never give up. I'll never settle. I'll never stop short. I will press toward the mark for the prize that is already mine. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation shall be able to separate me from my God. And if my God is for me, who can be against me? I will fight.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us complete this particular instruction. Number 3, what the vision represented. We already know Ezekiel, the vision he had represented the glory of God. That is what this vision in the first chapter, verse 25 through 28 tells us. And we know that Daniel, his vision in Daniel chapter 12, verse 5 through 9, represented the end time. And now we're going to look at the comparison of the vision that Daniel had represented in Acts chapter 9, verse 5 through verse 3 through 5. And this is what the book of Acts says, and this is comparing and agreeing. This is what the book of Acts says. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him light from heaven. And this was Paul, of course, coming to Damascus, and he was looking to not only interrogate, but to imprison Christians. Verse 4 says, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And this is the intent or the representation of his vision, that the truth could not fail. It was almost impossible to kick against the truth. And that's what Jesus told Paul. And this is what the knocking down of Paul represented in on the road to Damascus. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must do what Paul suggested, study to approve ourselves worthy and not ashamed, but rightfully dividing the word of truth for our benefit. That's why it is significant to know that visions are important in the world of God, and that understanding them is even more important, because that is how we then can apply what we need to be fruitful this side of eternity in our work in the garden, laboring with love in the vineyard. Now let's go to the next instruction, the final one of the evening. We're going to go to instruction number 4, and we're going to turn back with, if you will, to Ezekiel chapter 2 this time. We're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 1 through 4 in Ezekiel chapter 2. And as I read the text to you, this is what I want you to get from the instruction. When God speaks, listen. That is so critical, my brothers and sisters, especially in the visions. We've already recognized that there are different types of visions, and we or ought to respond accordingly. What Paul did when he was in Damascus, we just read it, he said, Who art thou, Lord? And we know Samuel, when he heard the voice of the Lord, he was told, it was Samuel. Eli told Samuel to ask the voice to tell him what he was supposed to do. So again, when God speaks, we need to listen. And this is what Ezekiel said in verse 1 through 4, chapter 2. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and I sat upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impotent children and stiff-necked. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. So this is what the vision, or in this instance, these words coming from the Lord said unto Ezekiel. And we're going to go to Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to get some amplification on this. This is how Moses spoke of it in Genesis chapter 3, verse 2 and verse 4 through 10. This is the amplification of the significance of when God speaks, you must listen. This is what Genesis said. Genesis chapter 3, verse 2 says, And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, meaning Moses, in a flame of fire out of the midst of a burning bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And then to complete this thought, verse 4 through 6 says, verse 4 through 10 says, And Moses says, I will not now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush was not burned, And the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. And God called out of the midst of the bush and said unto Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Draw not nigh thither. Put off thy shoes off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large land, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the land of those who occupy it now. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto them, unto Pharaoh, that he may let the children of Israel go. So that is what was to Moses by God, and that amplifies or adds to the pertinence of listening when God speaks. Now, this, turn with me now to the book of Revelations, and we're going to see how it compares and agrees with what we just said. The book of Revelations, we're looking at verse 10 in the book of Revelations, or verse chapter 1. We're looking at chapter 1, verse 10 through 13, and this is what it said in the book of Revelations. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and behold, behind me was a great voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake to me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a girdle. And verse 17 through 19 completes the thought. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So again, this is telling the John the Revelator to write in the book, or write down what what God had said to the church. And that is what's so significant. And now this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word or vision of God. And our salvation will depend upon it. That is how we secure it. So that is why it is so important, my precious brothers and sisters, that when God speaks, we must listen. Okay, that concludes the lesson for this evening. And before we dismiss the class, what I want you to do is, or what I want to say is that on behalf of the host and I, we would like to thank you and bless you for your participation and for your encouragement tonight. Good night.
Basic instructions before leaving Earth. Please join us for our new time every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for basic instructions before leaving Earth. Good night.